with ice. Sure enough, Valentin Grechko was already at one of the urinals. The Russian physicist had a reputation for drinking tea constantly and then racing for the toilet. Donardo pretended to be finished as Grechko turned toward the sinks, zipping the fly of his dark blue trousers. Grechko smiled with tea-stained teeth when he saw Donardo. The two men bent over to wash their hands side by side. The priest saw in the mirror above his sink that he should have shaved before coming to this meeting. His jaw and the skull were dark with stubble. Then he glanced at Grechko's face. Director of the Russian Space Research Institute, Grechko was well into his 60s, his sparse hair totally gray. The jacket of his dark suit seemed to hang on him, as if he had recently lost weight. Is he ill? Donardo wondered. The quizzical little smile that Grechko always wore was still in place. He seemed to be bemused by the world constantly. Yet he had clawed his way to the top of the Russian scientific hierarchy, a member of their academy and head of the institute that directed their space efforts. As they shouldered their way out of the men's room, Grechko asked,
"You have recovered fully from your surgery?"
"Oh, yes," said Donardo, unconsciously running a hand across his side. "As long as I am careful with my diet, I am in fine condition." The Russian nodded. Donardo noticed that their suits were almost the same shade. "Except for my collar, we might have gotten our outfits at the same place," he thought.
"Meetings like this give me an ulcer," Grechko muttered, getting into the tea line. "Not even Brumado can keep order."
"We have an enormous decision to make, whether to allow another excursion through the Grand Canyon or not. If we do, it will cut short all the other traverses."
"Or eliminate them altogether?"
Donardo asked.
"How do you feel about it?"
"I have no strong opinion, scientifically speaking," said the physicist.
He lowered his voice to the point where Donardo had to lean close to hear him over the buzz of the crowd.
"But I can tell you that our mission directors have already convinced the politicians to let the American go back to Typhonium."
"Really?" Grechko nodded, his ever-present smile temporarily replaced by something close to a scowl. Donardo mused.
"I wonder how the Americans feel about it."
"There is Brownstein. We can ask him."
Murray Brownstein was taller than the Italian priest and the Russian physicist by several inches, yet his back was so stooped that he looked almost small, slight in his gray jacket and off-white chino slacks. His face was California tan, his once golden hair now graying and so thin that he combed it forward to cover as much of his high forehead as possible. Where Donardo looked like a swarthy, overaged wrestler, and Grechko resembled a pleasantly puzzled old man, Brownstein had an air of intense dissatisfaction about him, as if the world never quite managed to please him. He saw Grechko and Donardo coming toward him, and immediately flicked his eyes toward an empty corner down the corridor. Without a word, the three men fell into step and walked away from the crowd at the refreshment table, Grechko with a glass of tea in his hand, Brownstein holding a can of Diet Cola, Donardo empty-handed.
"What do you think of all this?" Brownstein spoke first as they reached the corner.
His voice was low, tight, like a conspirator who was afraid of being overheard. Donardo made an Italian gesture.
"Brumado has given our colleagues a chance to vent their anger, but now even he is growing short-tempered."
Brownstein said bitterly, "It's all a frigging waste of time. Our government's already made its decision."
"You are not pleased?" asked Grechko.
"I don't like scientific decisions being made in Washington and then rammed down my throat."
Donardo said, "But perhaps the decision is a good one. After all, the canyon is an extremely interesting environment. If I had been allowed my own way, the teams would have been landed onto the canyon floor."
"Much too risky for the first mission," Grechko said flatly.
"I disagreed then, and I disagree now," Donardo said, without a trace of rancor.
"The science may be okay," Brownstein said. "It's the politics that rankles me. If we allow the politicians to override our decisions," Donardo interrupted.
"But that is why this meeting was called, so that we scientists could make our decision and then inform the politicians of it."
"Doesn't matter what we decide. That damned Indian is going to Typhonium whether we like it or not."
"You mean Dr. Waterman, not Dr. Patel?"
"Yeah, right." Waterman.
But if the sense of this meeting is opposed to changing the mission plan, Kretschko said, that will force the politicians to reconsider.
No, it won't. The Japs are going along with the new plan.
They are?
Brownstein nodded grimly. Tanaka was in the same plane with me. He happened to be at Caltech when this meeting was called. He told me Tokyo has agreed with Washington to okay the Typhonium diversion.
Without consulting their own scientists or mission directors?
Kretschko seemed shocked.
It's a done deal, Brownstein said. All we're doing here is jerking off.
DiNardo raised his eyebrows slightly.
Unless, Brownstein added, we decide to make a fight of it.
No, said the priest. The two other men stared at him. Brownstein almost snarled.
You're willing to let some ignorant bunch of politicians tell us what to do?
In this case, yes.
Brownstein shook his head, more in anger than in sorrow.
Gretschko asked,
Why?
There are at least two very powerful reasons not to oppose this decision.
Damned if I see even one, Brownstein said. If we let the politicians win this one, next thing you know, they'll be telling us how to tie our fucking shoes.
As a geologist, DiNardo said, with hardly a wince at the American's language, I agree with the waterman. The canyon is the best place to go, considering the limitations of time, equipment, and supplies of this mission.
And skip the volcanoes entirely?
Gretschko asked. His little smile seemed to irritate Brownstein.
If we are forced to make an either-or choice, I would say, yes, skip the volcanoes altogether.
However, I believe we can at least make a preliminary reconnaissance of Pavonis Mons. A few days, at least.
That's your professional opinion, is it? Brownstein asked.
Yes. As a geologist, I agree with the politicians.
You said there were two reasons, Kretschko prodded.
The second reason is political. Actually, the priest said, making himself smile at Brownstein, a mixture of science and politics.
He hesitated until Brownstein asked impatiently, Well, what is it?
I don't believe it is wise to try to fight with the politicians when they have made a decision that is reasonably sound, scientifically.
Before either of the other two could say a word, DiNardo went on.
Besides, the most likely place for our team to find traces of life is in the canyon. I'm willing to take the chance that they will find something there, something that will force the politicians to agree to further missions.
Brownstein started to shake his head, but Gretschko mused.
Certainly it would seem that the canyon is a better environment for life than the volcanoes.
It's like comparing the jungles of Brazil to the mountains of Tibet, isn't it?
The Martian equivalent, yes, DiNardo agreed.
I still don't like it, Brownstein muttered. If we give in to the politicians on this one, we're opening a can of worms that'll ruin everything in the long run.
Then we must not appear to be giving in to the politicians, said DiNardo. We must convince our colleagues to insist on the excursion to Typhonium, while keeping as much of the earlier mission plan as possible.
Brownstein grimaced. That's a tall order.
It can be done, DiNardo said quietly.
I am certain that Brumado will be in favor.
Gretschko's smile widened perceptibly.
Then you can get up on your feet and try to convince the rest of them.
DiNardo smiled back. Oh, no. I will convince Brumado. Then he will convince all the others.
Spoken like a true Jesuit, said Gretschko.
Brownstein snorted, but said nothing.
The crowd was beginning to stream back upstairs. The three men started back to the auditorium.
God grant me the strength to succeed, DiNardo said to himself.
Then he thought, and God, grant James Waterman good hunting on Mars.
Sol 22, afternoon. Ravi Vishnu Patel stared at the broad, regal cone of Pavonis Mons. The volcano filled the horizon like a reclining Buddha, like a slumbering Shiva, destroyer of worlds, and their restorer.
It's a shame Toshima is not with us. Abdul al-Nagib's soft voice broke Patel's nearly hypnotic spell. The two men were leaning over the empty seats in the cockpit of the rover. Jamie and the cosmonaut Mironov were outside, placing geology-meteorology beacons on the rock-strewn ground.